Good morning and welcome to this episode of the iDrop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college athletics, I am pleased to be joined by the head men's basketball coach at Hampton City College, Caleb Kimbrough. Coach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I really appreciate you having me on and highlighting us little guys over here.
Hey, we got to do what we can to spread the word. Now, when did you know that athletics would be your path?
Great question. I played lots of sports growing up. I think, maybe naturally just enjoyed competing. It was something that got me going. Basketball was not a big sport of mine growing up. It was really tennis. That was the family sport. So I grew up playing tennis. But, as I went along, I don't know so much as I knew that was going to be a career for me. But I did know I really enjoyed it. And I think as I went along, mentors of mine or people that I'm close to said, this could be something that, maybe you could be good at. In high school in different sports, I think I had the ability to relate to a lot of different people. You had some captain or leadership responsibilities, and a lot of times that can translate maybe to leading a group as a coach. So I think maybe it naturally happened and became a real thought maybe junior, senior year of college.
You went to Guilford where you were a two sport athlete. Let me ask you a question. Could you still step on the court, being the basketball court, give us a couple of buckets, and then about an hour later, step on the tennis court for some doubles?
Without a doubt, without a doubt, I will go out there and give a bucket and then go out there and play some tennis. Now, I don't play tennis as much, right? And, but I can get, I played so much tennis growing up that I can kind of pick up a racket and be okay, still be a solid player. Basketball wise, I was kind of the rough full court defensive kind of point guard. So that doesn't cater to my game now. Let's just put it that way. I'm trying to develop the YMCA ball, game. We're working on it. We're working on it. I'll definitely go out there and try. I'll give you that.
When did you know that? Well, you had played some for the Harlem Globetrotters as a member of the Washington Generals. What was that experience like being able to tour the world and the country as a member of an outstanding exhibition team?
The experience with the Generals was amazing. I think in a little bit over a year, I got a chance to play these, I guess you can call it games, these games in maybe, I think it was 16, 17 different countries. This is my first year out of college, and you get paid a little bit to do it. So, you're actually, you're able to save a little bit of money while you're on the road. But I think that, it's twofold for me. One, I think I really learned some of the background of basketball in general, dating back to like, what were the Harlem Globetrotters, right? Like when African Americans weren't in the NBA, these were really some of the best basketball players in the world. And I think learning some of the background of the profession I'm in now was really important to me. And then getting a chance to travel and see the world and go to different places and make really good friends. And obviously the Globetrotter Washington General rivalry is different now than it was back then, but it's still a really fun piece of basketball history.
What was the experience like when you finally put the ball down and picked up the whistle? What was the transition like, and were you ready to kind of start the new chapter in your career?
I thought I was. So Adam Hutchinson was the head coach at Washington and Lee, and I actually interviewed for a job for him out of college before the Washington Generals. And did not get the job. And so I went and did the Washington Generals. And the way the Generals work, you can slightly elevate, within the team. And I had the opportunity to do that, maybe see a different part of the world the following year. But then Hutch, who I'm still really close to, gave me a call and said, "Hey, the guy that I hired left after a year. I think he went to Yale or something like that. And the job's yours if you want it." And I, it was Washington and Lee. Which I didn't know the significance of it at that point, just having that type of academic reputation of a school on your resume. But yeah, it was great. I called the people that I'm close to, and the majority of them said, if you want to coach, you're not going to get an opportunity where someone just calls you and offers you a job like this, right? You're going to have to typically go and work for free somewhere because this is there's only one assistant at Washington Lee, you know. So you have it, you actually have a small salary, and you can live off of it, which I know sounds crazy, but a lot of times your foot in the door is maybe not that. You have to make a lot of sacrifices. So, you know, all but I took all that into consideration. I thought to myself, well, let me give it a chance. And it was a, I'm glad I did. You know, I had a really, really great year learning under Hutch and then before going back to Guilford.
Now, as someone who is from Chapel Hill, do I need to ask where your allegiances lie between the teams in Tobacco Road, or is it a given that it is North Carolina?
It's not, it's the Dukies. It's all day. The Duke. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Now, hold on now. Hold on. My whole family went to Duke. They all went there. My dad was like a place kicker for the football team. Like I didn't know growing up in Chapel Hill that I was supposed to be a Carolina fan until I got in elementary school. And then it was like, wow, why am I getting in so many? It was like religion at that point. I was like, I'm in arguments every day now about this. But now I'm Big Dookie. I'm Big Dookie.
It's a family thing. I get that. Now, what was the transition like going from assistant to head coach, outside of having to slide the foot and a half from one chair to the other?
It was, I mean, it was stressful, I should say. I think, my first head coaching job was, I think people step into all different types of situations, and I think probably all of them are equally as stressful, right? I mean, but people like to say, well, I went into a situation to a team that needed to be rebuilt, at down in Montgomery at Huntingdon College. And you think you know what you're doing, but you really have to live it, right? Your thoughts and all these, when you're making the final decision, it can be really stressful. There can be a lot of second guessing. So I think I was really lucky to learn under Adam Hutchinson and Tom Palumbo because, now kind of a phrase we use in the program is devotion over feeling, right? We learned it through some mental skills work that we do, and it's been that I think is the best thing. Like, right from wrong, like do what you know, make adjustments, stay devoted to the work, and things will work out. And but yeah, I'm not gonna lie, becoming a head coach, I mean, yeah, you almost said you get to learn a lot of things on the fly, right? You think you're prepared, you can write as much stuff down as you want, but you're talking about X and O things all the way down to learning how to deal with disciplinary issues, parents, administration, I mean everything. There's a lot you're gonna learn that you don't know, but it's also the fun of it.
When we come back from break, I want to talk about your path at Hampton City and kind of where you see things going this year and in the future. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the AirDrop podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with our podcast, Terrence Biggs, Caleb Kimbrough, the head men's basketball coach at Hampton City College. Coach, two-part question. When you accepted the job at Hampton City, what was the first thing that crossed your mind as something you wanted to accomplish as far as a goal, and how to celebrate?
I knew Hampton Sydney was a very special place. The two places that I worked as an assistant coach were both in the league. So I was aware of the type of talent that the team had, the type of environments that the school had when you came to play here in Farmville. And I was excited about that. And I think, I try to create these goals as you're asking, like, what are your goals? I mean, goals are kind of the same everywhere. Is like, well, let's get the most out of each team every year. Let's find a way to get the most out of this group we have this year. And, I think here at Hampton Sydney, we realized, wow, well, getting the most out of the groups here really, really means you can accomplish some pretty big things as far as the results are concerned. Being in contention for ODAC championships, get the NCAA tournament, maybe be in contention for national championships. And I think we've learned that along the way. But the real focus has been like, I mean, how do we figure out how to pull the most out of each individual, how to pull the most out of the resources at the school, out of the alumni, the boosters, I mean, everything. And it's still a work in progress. I think we're doing that every single day. And that's kind of part of a whole culture talk. But as far as what I expected was to get the most out of the team. And what I realized was that means we can probably achieve a lot of really neat results.
When you're recruiting, most coaches, actually every coach wants the metrics, the speed, the size, the strength, all of the measurables. What intangibles must a player play to be able to suit up for you?
I like a player that is selfless. You know, I mean, yeah, I think we attribute that to character a lot of times when we talk about it with an individual recruit, but you have to watch somebody, I think, a lot to figure out, you know, like can they only play with the ball in their hands on the offensive end? Do they get excited when somebody on their team makes a good play, or is it only when they make a good play? Are they really excited about making a big time play when their team is down by 20? You know, I think we really look for team guys that are selfless. But the other side of that is I mean, I got to have a guy that can defend. I mean, we try to play tough man-to-man defense. And so if I go out there and you're just getting blown by every time, or you're afraid of contact, you know, those are big things that are gonna X you off the list pretty quickly.
One of the things I noticed about the start to the season that you were able to defeat two number one teams. What's that like? The feeling of going into a big game, actually they're all big games, but going into a game against a top ranked opponent and emerging victorious.
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. We played Christopher Newport the first game of the year, which, you know, we lost to them our last game of the year, and then they went on and won the whole thing. And you know, obviously our guys would have been up for any game, whatever the next game was, but we wanted to challenge ourselves with the top, you know, top teams in the country, or who was we thought would be the top teams in the country, to honestly help prepare us for league play, because we have such a deep, talented league, and you know, we know it's a gauntlet. So, you know, we didn't know we were going to win the games that we won, but we did know we were going to challenge ourselves. But winning those games and playing the way that we did to start the year, I thought was really special, and created memories that will always be with us.
One of the things I noticed about this year's team is the fact that the range of scoring, as far as you have 10 players that score 4 or more points a game, and of those players, 9 play at least 10 minutes. What does that speak to the difficulty of having to rotate so well and having it pay off?
I mean, having a lot of good players is probably a good problem to have. I'm gonna give my assistant Bryson Gibson a lot of credit here, because we talk a lot about our substitution and our plan going into each game. But then and he runs it at when it comes game time. I mean, obviously we talk about it if we need to, but you know, he really has a great gauge on what we need at certain times, and has done a phenomenal job of rotating guys in and out and finding the lineups we want. So I give him a lot of credit there. But yeah, I mean, you have to manage it. Like I said, you have to have a selfless team. We have guys that can score a ton of points. You know, we have a guy that's injured right now, DJ Wright, who's, I mean, he can fill it up. He scored almost 2,000, maybe over 2,000 points in high school, and was injured one of those years, something crazy like that. And he came in and has played a role for us, where, you know, we've expected things on both ends, but he's also been able to fill it up for us at times. I think even, you know, Davison Hubbard, obviously our leading scorer, can fill it up. But like Adam Brazel, he can, if he wanted to, you've seen him shoot one shot in a game, but he can also shoot 15 plus and score 20 points. And you know, even like Eamon McGowan off the bench for us can really fill it up from three. You see Blake Wilson, a freshman for us, who's played well over the past several games. But like I could go down the line, Josiah Hardy, Alex Elliott, I mean, all the guys, you know, Miles Harris filling it up for us. And then we've got the younger guys coming along that are doing a great job, and you got the older guys who have played a role, but they always stay ready and prepared if their number's called in the game.
Now, what makes the Kirby Fieldhouse such a difficult play to play? I mean, place to play, because you're averaging a little over 700 people, which is a that's a pretty good crowd. What makes that that play is so difficult for an opponent to walk in and compete?
I think it starts with just the college in general, Hampton Sydney. And it's a real brotherhood. We're a unique school, being an all male institution. We're a little bit off the beaten path, being in Farmville. But if you know this community, if you know the Hampton Sydney community, I mean, the people here get behind each other unlike any other. I mean, they support each other. And this is just across campus, sports, not sport, whatever it is. People truly care. And so I think that's what you see when you see our home games packed the way they are. Like our staff goes to lunch a lot of times on campus. So we know guys that are in others, play other sports. We know guys that are in fraternities, guys that are in clubs, guys that are just students. We interact with them every day, and you form a relationship with those guys. And I mean, it gets rowdy. It gets rowdy. It gets rowdy in there. It's a close-knit environment. Kirby Fieldhouse is a great setup. Cameron Indoor. There you go. It's not Cameron Indoor, but you have students close to the court. You have students that are getting excited, and it can get really loud. And yeah, if anybody's close by, I'd recommend you come to the game.
What separates the ODAC as far as competition level that separates it from other conferences?
I think one of the things that makes the league so special is that we're pretty close to each other. So we see, coach, there's rivalries. You see each other a lot. You recruit the same circles. I think there's a lot of schools that are committed to winning in this league. So at Division III level, I mean, if you have a school that's committed to winning, then you can go out and recruit good players, and you can get some things done. But I mean, also, I think you've seen coaches that are just high level coaches. Tom Palumbo, one of my biggest mentors, has been to Final Fours and deep runs. They're one of the best teams in the country right now. Merkel over at Macon is, I mean, the stretch of years he's put together the past 4 or 5 years are just, I don't know if there's anybody that's comparing to that right now, maybe any level. And, but then across the board, I mean, Macedo, if we have them tomorrow, Virginia Wesleyan, I mean, he's won a national championship. Down at Roanoke, playing Nunley, it's like he wins 20 games in his sleep. I mean, you got down to Lynchburg. I mean, you got Hillary Scott won a conference championship, and I think just across the board, I mean, guys are doing a really good job of recruiting, retaining, and developing players. And then I think you see that when you're playing against fourth and fifth year guys that are really well coached.
When you're not in the office or recruiting or even on the court, how do you get away from the game?
Well, I have two kids. I have two kids and a beautiful wife. So my son is 6 and my daughter's 3. So that's how I spend the majority of my time. And every once in a while, the students get me to come and play an intramural basketball game, but it's got to be at the right time. Doesn't take away from the kids. But no, I'm usually at home with the kids, playing or taking it easy with the family. I'm pretty low key when it comes to that. I like to cook, so. Go home and cook for the family and get it done that way.
Weekend menu look like at the house, and what's on the grill?
Ooh, well, I haven't been on the grill in a little while. It's been a little cold, but and in season, my wife's helping quite a bit. But let's say, yeah, I mean, we can whip up just about anything you talk about. I mean, I'm kind of the guy that doesn't follow recipes. So I like a good stir fry. I like to get the seasonings out and try different things. I've been kind of on like this Asian kind of flavor, like ginger, soy sauce kind of flavor recently, rice, chicken, vegetables, type of thing. But we can go anywhere with it. We really can.
Now, when you're out with the family, where is your favorite place to eat? What's on your plate?
Ooh, these are great questions. My favorite place to eat, maybe right now, is this little kind of Tex-Mex type of place in town. 119. We're talking about Farmville. This place 119. They've got a really neat setup. It's small. They have a different wide variety. They have these blistered kind of Sereno peppers that they put some salt on. They're pretty good, but I'm not going to bore you with all my foodie stuff.
Speaking of food, last question. What's the one food that people like that you cannot stand?
I mean, maybe just like too big of a cut raw tomato on top of a salad. Like I just can't. I mean, I can maybe eat like a small tomato, but like a big like tomato wedge. I mean, I just that's a lot. We don't need to do all that. We don't need to do all that.
He is the head basketball coach at Hampton Sydney College. Hampton Sydney also will be on the road tomorrow as they play Virginia Wesleyan. Coach Caleb Kimbrough, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much.